says, our Kohen here says, yep, I'm a Kohen. So he gets the first Aliyah. He's all happy, proud of himself. After davening, he goes to shake the hand of the rabbi. The rabbi says, is that you, young Kohen? Yeah. He said, 1 second, I'm so happy to see you. But I knew you from Pinsk. I knew your father. Your father wasn't a Kohen. I knew your grandfather. He wasn't a Kohen. So I'm nechet tasting that you're suddenly a Kohen. So the guy looks at the rabbi and says, rabbi, this is America. If you can be a rabbi, is obviously you can wave a magic wand and say there's no longer a Kohen, but under what circumstances could the idea of Kahuna be somewhat compromised in a way that we could do research and determine that the fellow actually never was a Kohen, despite other possible indications to the contrary? So if you take a look at the first of the Marma Kovacer, Ebenezer Simon Gimel, first direction that we discussed, machlokas mechaper ma, about the ne'emanus of a person to say that he is a kohen, is man hazeh. The mechaper writes beginning of Siman Gimel, mi shabab is man hazeh v'yamer kohen ani, eino ne'ema. That's definitely to sugi and ksubas kaftal kafe, definitely to bizman ha mikdash. Mechaper says even nowadays, a person comes and says he's a kohen, in and of itself he doesn't have ne'emanus. Ein ma'alim esolakun al bi'atzmo. So even when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, which is the Rabbanon, we don't believe in the say that it's a Kohen unless we have other corroborating evidence or other edus. That's only Me'ikra Din at a time when we have Truma D'Raisa. Nowadays we don't. So we're only really talking about the Rabbanons. So as far as that's concerned, the person has ne'emanus to say that he's a kohen le'inyan dirabbanans. They know again in the b'chamakim she know again mitzvah b'zmanazeh v'leka le'mechash le'midi. So Chaver says, as far as the rabbanans are concerned, the person does have ne'emanus to say that he's a kohen. Presumably, as far as yisurim are concerned, we would say shavim nafshe v'tikin yisurim. The person claims that he's a kohen. That would be enough to prohibit him from marrying a woman who is asura le'kohen. Fine. Then Sif Beis, Haya Eidecha Neidolav Namelav Hilo Mitrum of Bismanazev, Velikris Matar Risha, Velisas Kapov, Nafilo Aviv Namelav, fine. So if you have an Eidecha, so then even the Machaber agrees with Manazev, Eidecha has Namanus, the father of a Kohen says that the son's a Kohen, he has Namanus as well. The Beis Shmuel points out, quoting earlier sources in Sifkatan Zion, that Kohen marries a grusha, and now he claims that he's not a kohen, doesn't have that manus. Once he's been muksak as a kohen, once people identify him as a kohen, they can't wake up one day and say, no, I was just kidding, I'm not a kohen, the kofin legarish osa, and we force him to be legarish a woman who is asura le kohen. So are there situations in which there may be a credible enough amasla that even if a person was presumed to be a kohen before, other information could lead us to a contrary conclusion and make a determination that a fellow is not actually a Kohen to allow him, in theory, to marry a Grusha Gioris or someone who is Asura Le-Kahuna.
And this man is a Mikdash. Did every Kohen have the monos that did come from the Kohen
Mosar? No, so then you needed more formal edus. We're talking about this man is that where the stakes are lower, so then the Ramah says you can rely on his own representation.
But still ain't an Eman, though.
Chaver says Eino Nema, the Ramah says he is Nema. Right? As far as the Rai says he's not Nema on his own, so then you need a more formal aegis in order to establish his status as a Kohen. Fine. So there is a tshuva of Ramosha, later tshuvas, from 1978, published in Chela Dalet, Ebenezer Simon Lamites. Chela Dalet Simon Lamites, originally printed in the Sefer of the Shoel, who asked Ramosha the Shaila, namely, you have this in your Marmakamas here, and the second Marmakam, Baruch Lizarovsky from Philadelphia. So his own sefer is called the Tam Baruch. So he originally printed his Shaila to Moshe and the Tshuva, and then with Moshe they reprinted the Tshuva, which summarizes the Shaila as well. So let's read a little bit. Hine, Bidvar Echa, Shenasa Bal Tshuva, Achre Shekvar Nasa, Nachre Yitzayde Yashpach, Harei Chabad. So the person became a Baal Tshuva after having already intermarried. The Hashpas Chavir Chabad was the influence to, because of a Tshuva, not to marry the Nachris. A little bit of a misplaced modifier. The who, the mishpacha, ban, the whatever the town was many years ago, before the war, and they were not observant at all. No yidia v'tor v'yadus. Father knew nothing. The grandfather also came in 1923, coming from communist rule. And clearly he was in a place of kefira before that. And he clearly wasn't mechanech his son in anything Jewish. Then Cain, ein lo shel ne'eman uslam reshukoi. So the father here, the father of the Baal Tshuva, was not at all observant. So he says, I'm a Kohen. How do you know where you're Kohen? My father told me I'm a Kohen. His father also wasn't observant. So he has no ne'emanus to say that he's a Kohen because he came from the observance. And the grandson didn't hear it directly from the grandfather. Maybe the grandfather, even though he wasn't from the Sovyabov, maybe he grew up and went to Cheder when he was little, before the communists came, even though in those cities in the Ukraine, even before the communists, they're all influenced by the Haskalah, and there are a lot of irreligious people way before. But they knew something. But in this case, he has no first-hand knowledge. He didn't even hear it directly from his grandfather. So, bottom line, the guy's still married to a nachris. So half of the shayla was, can the nachris be megayir halachically? So at the moment, status quo, she's not Jewish. And their daughter isn't misyachesus to him. But we don't want to push him further away. So if we have no edus from a kosher person, this guy's a kohen, then we're not going to automatically answer him to a georis. So even though the guy had some belief that he's a kohen, it's based on faulty sources. Ruben and Ruben, people of the world, the Jews in the world, are not kohanim. Therefore, you don't have to assume that he's a kohen. Vadi l'shayach lasis od chakir v'drisha me'achas shu be'ir, a place where there weren't too many Jews. They're not going to get so far. That's Moshe's psak. Then in this case, even though the person had a certain belief that he was a Kohen, it was based on irreligious ancestors who had there's no direct connection to any first-hand knowledge of Kahuna, so you don't have to assume that he is a Kohen. David Cohn has a much more sweeping approach to these things than he says b'shem Reb Moshe. I'll just read you a line from a letter penned by Reb David Cohn dated January 2007. L'chol man devoy l'meida, to whom it may concern, shemati mipiv shel Maran Gaon Reb Moshe Feinstein zetzal, shemi sheba mimishpacha shemachzikim atzam kekohanim. That person comes from a family that assume that they're Kohanim. But there were no observant family members. So there's no credible representation that these people are Kohanim, and therefore they're allowed to marry women that are Asuros Lekahuna, absent any firm yediya or firm evidence of real kahuna. Okay, so that's the extreme position, or more extreme position, that anytime you don't have any knowledge from relatives of kahuna, you don't have to give credence to the kahuna representation.
There are many people around today that come from Memphis,
right?
And are practicing kahuna. So how do we...
Right, just like Rav David Cohn would say, that's questionable. David Cohn's not a Kohen, so you should know. More so, in the argument, I think, is stronger in America than there is as well. In America, as David Cohn would say, from his own family history, there were plenty of Jews that came to Ellis Island and were assigned the Jewish name like Cohen, but it wasn't representative of actually being Kohanim. Eretz Yisrael, you didn't have people assigned the name when they got to Eretz Yisrael. It was Ben Zvi, who wasn't Kohen. Right. So in Eretz Yisrael, maybe a different situation. With Jewai, people in Eretz Yisrael, it's a little harder to invoke some of these kulos. Now, good of a situation, we were dealing with a case of this earlier this year, kind of in the middle. Someone came to the Beis Din, wanted to marry, involved with someone who's going through the gayrus process. Ultimately, the expectation was that this woman would be Megayer, and he wanted to marry the woman after she's Megayer. This guy had been from, and then he left the Derech, and then he's back in the Derech, but he had been presumed to be a Kohen. Kohen can't marry Gyaris. So the story was, along these lines, that he came from a few generations of non-observant ancestors, and the whole reason that they believe, they didn't even have a last name that was Muvak L'Kahuna, the whole reason they believed that they were Kohenim was because, to the extent that there's any affiliation, it was Reform in the previous generations, and when the father got married, the Reform rabbi officiated and asked if they were Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. So the father's mother said to the father's father, "No, you're a Kohen." And then that was the first he ever heard about Kahuna, this guy's father. And then when the guy's father became from decades later, he remembered in his mind that someone said something about being a Kohen. So he started to be masking himself as a Kohen. And they were going to an Orthodox shul and dukkening and doing everything that Kohanim did. So that may make this a little worse. It's true that the whole Yediyah came from irreligious relatives, but his Mukzak is Kohen for a number of years. The David Kohen Tuah, in this case also, same thing. The whole Yediyah is from irreligious relatives. The fact that they were mafkin themselves with Kohen was based on a faulty premise. David Feinstein said he thought, in this case, it's worse, because the fact that they were mafkin themselves as Kohen, were practicing as Kohen in Orthodox Shul for years, raises the threshold of proof that you need to demonstrate that they're in fact not Kohanim. So the fact that you just had this conjecture, we don't know, because they're religious relatives, wouldn't be enough. What about indications on matzevos of Kahuna? What reliability does that have? So that seems to be machlokas between the Rav and Rav Ozner. The famous story that the Rav told in his 1975 drasha to the rabbinic alumni, Anti-Rabbi Rachman Drasha, in which he told the story of which, when it was reprinted in Light magazine, it was under the title Surrender to the Almighty. So Surrender to the Almighty came from this story that the Rav told, that he was consulted by a certain Baal Tshuva who was romantically attached to a woman who was a Surah Lakoe. I forget if it was a Giyoris or Busha. The woman who was a Surah Lakoe, and they were engaged, she married her, going to be married, and then he took a trip to a cemetery to visit the graves of his ancestors, and he noticed that there was a Yadayim.
He was getting religious. He wanted to be attached to his ancestors for the first time. Right. He went to the cemetery.
So he noticed the Yadayim on the Masebe. He didn't know what that meant. He asked, and the Dalton means you're a Kohen. So they went to the Rav, and the Rav said that you have to surrender to the Almighty, that you have to break up. That's the halacha. So presumably the Rav seemed to have assumed that even without any other firm knowledge of Kuna, the existence of Yadayim was a raya that there is a certain Kuna status. Rav Ozner has the tshuva, Chelek Yud, Shevet Alevi, Simen, Reish Kafei, Chelek Yud, Shevet Alevi, Simen, Reish Kafei, in which he seems to take a contrary position. He was asked about a certain individual who believed that he was a Kohen, and they found some old Matseva indicating Kahuna. So absent any firm knowledge of Kahuna other than that, and the fact that there were no people that practiced Kahuna, there are other things that the fact that there was this indication in the Matseva from a couple of generations ago is not in and of itself enough of a concern to be mastered summon as a Kohen. Okay. There was a case in the Beth Din in Haifa a number of years ago. Psak Din number 867607. Aleph Tev Yisav Shinayim Beis. Beth Din of Rav Daniel Edri, Rav Ayal Yosef, Rav David Bar Shilton. What was the story? Someone was referred to the Beth Din by the local Machlakat HaNisuin for a birur as to whether he was a Kohen. The young man who wanted to marry a Grusha, his last name was Kahana. Usually the Piskei Din of Anim are all anonymized, but in this case the last name is relevant to the story. The last name was Kahana, or maybe it's made up name, his real last name was Kohen. So he had a last name Mufak LeKahuna. So he approached the Beis Din for a psak about his kahuna status, claiming that the family never practiced kahuna, they have no knowledge that the kohanim, and they do not believe that there are kohanim. So he came to the Beis Din together with his father, and the father represented that his father, meaning the boy's grandfather, was buried in Eretz Yisrael, and the great-grandfather is buried in Romania. And both of these kvarim, both of the matzevas, have no indications of kahuna. They were in the middle of the cemetery, not at the end of the cemetery, and there are no rites whatsoever that there's any kahuna here. So they write this psak din. They sent their own investigators to look into this. They said they consulted an expert in Romanian Jews to research the Romanian end of this, and they sent one of their shlichei Beis Din to the cemetery in Eretz Yisrael to check out the matseva of the grandfather. So the person who went to the matseva, the grandfather, came back. He took a picture. On the picture were Yadayim. Okay. So they brought the father back into Beis Din. And they said, so again, you told us that in the cemetery, now still, your father, where your father's buried, there are no Yadayim, correct? Yes. Do you have any picture to indicate that? Yes. So the guy pulled out a picture. And the picture was of his father's matseva. And there's a picture of a menorah over on top of the matseva. Sorry, there's a picture of a mug and dove on top of the matseva. So the Beis Din confronts him and says, one second, look at this picture. This picture, is this a picture of your father's kever? Yeah. Well, this picture has Yadayim. So the father admitted to the fact that he had hired someone to go to the matseva and chisel out the Yadayim and put on a menorah on top of it. So the steps that people take to fool what they did.
This point of Kohanim not being buried, you said in the front versus in the middle, that's
right.
Not halfway, is that a proof that Kohanim are buried everywhere? There's a chashuv section in the towns of Europe, in every Beis HaChaim, there's a chalkas harabbanim.
Right.
Lavdavka, where they're Kohanim, they're Kohanim in the entire Beis HaChaim.
Right, but if he in certain cemeteries, there are kohanim that are buried along the side
to allow people to visit.
Right, mm-hmm. So that was apparently the practice in this instance. So this guy fooled the Beis Din, and he hired someone to chisel out the Yadayim, and he said, "But really, we're not kohanim at all. So just that was a mistake, and I don't know how that got there. So we wanted to correct the record, but we're really not kohanim anyway." So that didn't heighten his credibility in the eyes of the Beis Din. And the Beis Din had some other conversation with him. He said, how do you know you're not a Kohen? He said, well, we always went to cemeteries, and I didn't have opinion of Ben. So they write, why is he didn't have opinion of Ben? So if he was a Kohen, he wouldn't have opinion of Ben. And if he wasn't a Kohen, he has an older sister, so he wouldn't have had opinion of Ben anyway. So it sounded like he was coached by someone who wasn't coached so well. So, bottom line, the Beis Din here was not willing to accept anything at face value from this person. I find, by the way, that in Eretz Yisrael, people are a lot more adept at forging things or trying to fool the Beis Din. There are numerous Piskei Din along similar lines. In America, people aren't as sophisticated, so they wouldn't know how to trick the Beis Din along the same lines. It's more of an art. But anyway, so they did not rely on this person's representation, and all evidence seemed to indicate that there was sufficient kahuna indications from the matzevas going back a few generations and the research in Romania So they assume that this fellow is still considered to be a Kohen, and therefore still a Grusha. No indication here that they investigated the other potential angle. Even if the guy was a Kohen, maybe it's a Halal. And typically in this kind of a situation, we would look into the possibility of Halalis as well. But given the history here, it didn't seem like the Bazin was interested in doing this fellow any favors after having been fooled.
To what extent have you had the case of, you know, Rebbe Cohen mentioned that the previous generation wasn't religious, so the fact that he was practicing for a couple of years wouldn't make a difference, right?
That's what Rebbe Cohen was saying, right?
What would he say if that person had siblings? And they're still practicing, and they want to claim they are Kohanim.
Yeah, so that in this case that we had, that was exactly the case. So the other brother wanted to remain a Kohen, said, well, that wasn't our Indian, because he wasn't asking us to shayla, and we weren't telling him what to do. But apparently he went to his rabbi, and his rabbi told him, you can do whatever you want, or you can continue acting as a Kohen or not. It does create complications. But this is not at all uncommon to have someone who becomes a Baal Tshuva, and has been in America for 3-4 generations, and you look into, well, there was another case a couple of years ago, similar case of a Jewish fellow by the name of Katz, who was some other Kohen Khan, or Kohen Katz, some Kohen Mufak name, and he was married to a conservative convert, and they were both becoming more observant, and she wanted to pursue a halacha geirus, but she couldn't pursue a halacha geirus if he was a Kohen, if they were going to stay married together. And his whole idea of kahuna, again, a similar kind of situation, he was fourth generation American. His grand, not religious for the last 3 generations. The great grandfather came to America, seemed to have affiliated Orthodox. We tracked down his Maseva, which had Hebrew writing on it and no indication of Kahuna. That was a positive indication of non Kahuna, because he was from the generation that was still, that came observant and was buried in a Jewish cemetery with Hebrew writing, where it seemed like they knew something, and there's no indication of kahuna there. And his son, the grandfather of the Shoel, was also married by an Orthodox rabbi, and there's no indication of kahuna there either. So there, all the research seemed to indicate no indication of kahuna at all, and positive indications of non-kahuna. So the fact, the only thing to go in, so to speak, that would have indicated kahuna was a last name of Kohanim, which in and of itself we generally assume not a raya. So in that case, we paskin that there's no evidence that the fellows are going, and the woman ended up being a geyer, and hopefully they're living happily together following that. But these things do come up from time to time, where we generally don't take the hook, line, and sinker pusher with David Cohen in all cases, and we'll evaluate more carefully what the idea of kahuna comes from, but there may be cases where we'd end up asking that there is insufficient idea and allow someone in this kind of a situation to marry a woman who is otherwise a surah of the
calling. What was Rebbe's basis for this abstracting
him? That in itself is not right. There could be many reasons that it ended up the way maybe someone in the...
You're talking about the Friedrichian generation. Let's say, if he has a saber from
how freely it was, I don't think it's clear from the Tshuva.
But most likely, the Chevah Kedishas in the towns of Europe were generally manned by people who were Shabbat Karamitsky.
Right.
So,
I don't think talking about Europe, Eretz Yisrael. I don't think it's clear how far back this went.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely in Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about an immigrant population where the research wasn't always done. Necessarily. Okay.
Good.